Tim Weiner joins us this morning to talk about his new book, The Mission, The CIA in the 21st Century. It's already being called a masterpiece of reporting based on the record interviews with six former CIA directors and scores of spies, station chiefs, and top operations officers. The Mission is a history of the modern CIA, reaching from 9/11 through its covert operations in Afghanistan and Iraq to today's secret battles with Russia and China, concluding with the agency's own fight for survival under the current president of the United States. Tim Weiner will be part of the Wit Festival in the Berkshires in September. Tickets for that go on sale today. We'll talk more about that in a bit. But in the meantime, let me welcome Tim Weiner to the roundtable this morning. Thank you so much for being with us. What a delight to have you on the program.
Hey, Joe. Really good to talk to you.
Again, the name of the book, The Mission, The CIA in the 21st Century. Give me a sense of how this comes, especially after your book, Legacy of Ashes, of what you wanted to look at when it comes to the current CIA.
Legacy of Ashes goes through the first 60 years of the CIA, ends in 2006. It was published in 2007. Back 3.5 years ago, roughly, the CIA told the world, speaking through the president and the secretary of state, that it had stolen Vladimir Putin's war plans to invade Ukraine months before it actually happened. I thought to myself, you know what? The CIA has been trying to penetrate the Kremlin ever since its foundation in 1947. Looks like they've done it. And I realized at that point it was time to write another book and go back to months before 9/11, when the CIA was really struggling to find out what is our new mission. 9/11 told them what it was, counterterrorism.
When it comes to 9/11, obviously a life-changing event for all of us. But when it comes to the agency, when did the changes start? I mean, there was necessary change that was needed. But as far as just philosophical change, does that come right away?
The president of the United States, George W. Bush, 6 days after 9/11, signed what was the most expansive and explosive covert action order directing the CIA since its foundation. Literally more covert action plans against terrorist targets were launched within a couple of years under this directive by Bush, and all the CIA's covert actions against the Soviet Union throughout the entire 45-year history of the Cold War. The CIA was ordered by the president to become a lethal paramilitary army, to build secret prisons, to capture terrorists, throw them into these secret prisons, and inflict tortures upon them to try and wring intelligence out of them. The CIA was not created to do that. The CIA was created to conduct espionage, spying, not to be jailkeepers or killers. And it did not go well entirely, as you know.
One of the things that makes this book so special is the fact that this is first-person accounts that you're dealing with. There are no anonymous sources or no blind quotes that are used in this book. Why was that so important for you, number one? And number two, what do you think that gives us, the reader, in the telling of this story about this most important agency?
It tells you that CIA officers and analysts and veterans were able to trust me to tell their stories straight. And, you know, why should readers trust anonymous sources or blind quotes? If somebody's on the record, the chances that they're telling the truth are higher, in my opinion. And, you know, I did this with Legacy of Ashes back 18 years ago. And it's just the standard that I hold myself to try and tell the truth and tell it straight.
When it comes to the story that you tell after 9/11 up to the point where we are today, and I'll get to that in a moment, it is a back and forth, and I'm interested in as to, especially in the first 2 or 3 years after 9/11, of how you would characterize the agencies and the changes that were being made.
Well, as I said, the CIA was ordered to become a killing force, a jailing force, and a torture, an instrument of torture. Bob Gates, who was the director of Central Intelligence in the last years of the Cold War and later the Secretary of Defense under George W. Bush and Barack Obama, he said something very interesting. I'll have to clean up the quote just a bit for radio. He said, on the 12th of September, we didn't know jack about Al-Qaeda. If the CIA had had a great dossier on, you know, who they were, how they moved money around, how they got fake passports, if they'd had a dossier full of intelligence on Al-Qaeda, none of the secret prisons and the torture would never have been necessary. So what he's saying there is that it was for a lack of intelligence that Al-Qaeda was A, able to attack New York and Washington and kill 3,000 Americans, and for a want of intelligence that the CIA took these extreme measures in violation of the Geneva Conventions and, frankly, the laws of God and man. And, you know, you talk, I interviewed the guy who was put in charge of creating the secret prison. I spoke to the men and women who oversaw these brutal interrogation. And, you know, almost every one of them said, we knew this would never stay secret. We knew that we would take it in the neck when it was revealed. And it's important to understand that the CIA is an executor of American foreign policy. It does, with rare exception, what the president tells it to do. And what we think of as intelligence failure are more often than not policy failures. Those of you with long memories or who know your history out there in Radioland will remember that 50 years ago, the Senate began to investigate the first 25 years of the history of the CIA under the aegis of the Church Commission run by Frank Church. And at the outset, Senator Church says, it seems that the CIA is a rogue elephant trampling peoples and nations. Well, he changed his tune when the investigation was done, because when the elephant tramples people, it's not the elephant's fault, it's the elephant driver's fault, the mahout who drives the elephant. And that is the president of the United States. It's really important for people to understand that.
Was the agency becoming more and more politicized, which allowed it to go into its current state, which I'd like to discuss, or was it able, do you feel, to combat that if it were not for the leadership that was elected last November?
The CIA, and indeed the entire American intelligence community, which is a behemoth that spends well north of $100 billion a year in the name of national security, the CIA has never been more political, nor has the intelligence community been more political than it is right now today. The President of the United States has installed a collection of crackpots and fools and acolytes in charge of the instruments of American national security. At the Pentagon, you have a former Fox News host who is a rank amateur in matters of national security. At the FBI, you have the MAGA warrior Kash Patel, who is busy dismantling the FBI's national security and intelligence divisions because these are the people who helped determine that Russia had a monkey wrench the 2016 election in favor of Trump. At the Directorate of National Intelligence, which is the bureaucracy that oversees, on paper anyway, all the American intelligence communities, you have a crackpot conspiracy theorist, Tulsi Gabbard, who, in conjunction with the CIA director installed by Trump, John Ratcliffe, is calling for the treason indictments of Barack Obama and Joe Biden and John Brennan, Obama's last CIA director, for having dared to investigate the connections between Team Putin and Team Trump back in 2016. This is a very dangerous state of affairs, Joe. Forget about the accusations of treason, okay? These people do not have a strong sense of what intelligence is and what intelligence can do. The world is a dangerous place, very dangerous right now. And their amateurishness and their slavish devotion to the philosophy of the president increases the risk of an intelligence failure, of a surprise attack against the United States. Things are as dangerous now, today, as they were in the months before 9/11. Perhaps more dangerous because the entire intelligence community, the CIA, is in thrall to a president who is an ideologue. Ideology is the enemy of intelligence. If you are an ideologue, your mind's made up. You don't want to be confused with facts. It's a dangerous situation to be in, and I don't see how it can be corrected in the short run.
Tim Weiner is our guest. The name of the new book is The Mission, the CIA in the 21st Century. Just made it to the New York Times bestseller list. Congratulations on that. Also, a mention that you will be part of the WIT Literary Festival that's taking place in the Berkshires September 25th through the 28th. You will be in conversation with James Lawler and Garrett Graff on Friday, September 26th. And people can find out more about that event by going to authorsguild.org, authorsguild.org. What you just said is striking and obviously greatly concerning, that the risk of a surprise attack is rising. And the fact that our own allies don't trust Trump and they don't trust the team around him and they are wary of sharing secrets, that seems like a recipe for disaster, as you describe in the book.
Well, to quote the late, great songwriter and poet Leonard Cohen, you want it darker? What would Trump do if the United States were struck by a surprise attack at home or abroad sometime in the next 3.5 years? He has already shown that he is capable of attacking and damaging our civil liberties, our democratic institutions, the rule of law. An intelligence service in the hands of an autocrat is a dangerous thing. And if, God forbid, we were struck again by an unknown enemy, an unseen enemy, a bolt from the blue, I would not put it past the President of the United States to suspend elections or even declare martial law. When intelligence fails, people die. And on the other hand, when it succeeds, it can save lives. Now, during the Biden administration, under the masterful direction of the CIA director, William J. Byrne, who was, you know, by almost universal acclaim, the most skillful diplomat of his generation for 30 plus years before becoming CIA director. In those years, the CIA saved thousands more lives than it took or than it lost. On a single day last summer, in August of 2024. The CIA foiled a terrorist attack in the making against a Taylor Swift concert that was held in front of 70,000 people in Vienna. If they had not done so, thousands of Americans and thousands of Europeans could have died.
Right.
And you want intelligence to succeed. You do not want a CIA that is being subjected to, as is the case for the last 6 months, being subjected to ideological purity tests, people being up for promotion at CIA were asked by Radcliffe and his MAGA team, who did you vote for in the last election? Who do you think really won the election in 2020? And what did you think of the January 6th insurrection? If you put political litmus tests on people whose job is apolitical, that's dangerous. Radcliffe also fired everybody the CIA had hired for the clandestine service in the years 2023 and 2024. They were Biden hired and therefore tainted. Worst of all, perhaps, John Radcliffe, Trump's CIA director, abolished the CIA's longstanding policies for diversity in hiring.
Mm.
Why is that important? If the CIA is going to send Americans to be spies undercover in, just to mention a few nations, China or Somalia or Pakistan, it is terrible tradecraft to send an all-white cadre to be spies there. There aren't enough Mission Impossible masks to disguise, you know, an all-white cadre spying in nations that are not all white. You want officers who can swim in the sea of the people. You want officers who have the language skills, the country knowledge, and the cultural finesse that being a good spy calls for. Diversity was one of the CIA's superpowers. It's how they don't get caught.
You mentioned the MAGA team, and I'm just curious, in your opinion and looking at the history, that if there is a checks and balances here, it does go with the confirmation of those who are in these most important posts, which didn't seem to hold this time. And it was a look at showing who was going to be loyal to the president of the United States. And we're seeing this play out, and we're seeing the mistakes that are being made firsthand, and yet they have yet to be corrected in many cases. I'm just curious about what you make of the confirmation system and where that lets us down and how we can improve that.
The Senate, not quite as bad as the House, but the Senate is broken. The House is broken. MAGA has broken their brains. You had people voting for not only confirmations, but, you know, the big, beautiful bill, who did not want to do that, but feared the wrath of the president of the United States. That's not how things are supposed to work in a democracy, okay? The Senate has the power to advise and consent on nominees, and all they do is concede.
So, let me ask this question. In your opinion, how screwed are we?
Scale of 1 to 10, Joe?
yeah, let's go with that one.
You know, my mother made it out of Hitler's Europe by the skin of her teeth. It took 7 years for her to get from Nazi Germany through Vichy Paris to Casablanca on the second to last boat that ever left Casablanca in 1942 to a refugee camp in Havana. And then at the end of those 7 years, she was admitted on a program for people like her to SMCC. And she graduated with the class of 1945 at Smith and went on to become a noted history professor at UCLA. She gives me, her memory gives me a sense of optimism. I have always believed that God loves fools, babies, and the United States of America. And I do believe we can make it out of this mess by the skin of our teeth. What has to happen is for the American people to re-engage in participatory democracy, to vote. And even if they have to hold their noses and vote, to vote against the MAGA cult. I mean, I've never covered politics as a reporter. I'm no longer a newspaper reporter. I just write books. But I have strongly held opinions about American democracy, which, you know, saved my mother's life. And I teach sometimes, Joe, every now and then I teach a class or two, and in history, in, you know, writing and so forth. And I remind my students that no free republic in the history of civilization has ever lasted longer than 300 years, and that was the Roman Empire.
Mm.
I believe we can make it to 300, but we're going to have to get through the next 3.5 years somehow. And that will happen if and only people vote for candidates who will oppose the cult of MAGA and its anti-democratic forces. You know, maybe we can make it through the next 3.5 years, I certainly hope so. I would like my daughters, who are in their 20s, to grow up in an American democracy.
Tim Weiner is the author of the National Book Award-winning Legacy of Ashes. His new book is The Mission, The CIA in the 21st Century, already a New York Times bestseller. Tim Weiner and James Lawler will be in conversation with Garrett Graff as part of the WIT Festival happening on Friday, September 26th at 2:30 at Shakespeare & Company in Lenox, Massachusetts. Tickets are now available, and you can find out information about the event starting today by going to authorsguild.org, authorsguild.org. Again, the name of the new book is The Mission, The CIA in the 21st Century. Tim Weiner, I can't tell you what an honor and privilege it is to speak to you. I thank you for your great work, and I thank you for spending time with us.
On the contrary, Joe, your show and WAMC are beacons of intelligence and light in ever-darkening world.
I appreciate that, and thank you so much for illuminating us on this morning. I appreciate it. Be well. Thank you.
Take care. Bye.
Again, the name of the book is The Mission, and it is published by Mariner. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.